bought this bumper sticker a long time ago when we first started homeschooling. Every home is a school. What do you teach? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to read a very familiar passage of scripture that you've heard in this church probably more than once for sure. We're going to talk about some of the dynamics there. Maybe some things we haven't said before. The thought came, I think it was Wednesday night or last Sunday, the idea of multi-generational faithfulness. How often do you see a converted person rise up and have children, but by the time it gets to the grandchildren, it's all washed out again? Now, there may be multi-generational ismitis, and that's usually due to other things other than spiritual life and truth and righteousness. It's often due to economic benefits and family friend benefits and so forth. But rarely do you see true fervor, third generation or fourth generation, a true dedicated disciple of Jesus, and they can say, Father, grandfather, and great-grandfather were just like this. Where do you see that? Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Jehovah, one Lord. Jehovah our Elohim is one Jehovah. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Number one, the youth are the hope of tomorrow. When it comes to the preservation of truth and righteousness, the youth are the hope of tomorrow. Number two, the truth must be transferred to the youth. Number three, the youth must be sufficiently trained to embrace and preserve the truth. Number four, if we do not sufficiently transfer truth to and through the youth God has entrusted to us, then we have failed to a large degree in our service to God. We find Israel. It says there was Moses and Joshua and the elders who outlived Joshua. And then the nation went apostate. There was a breakdown. In 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul tells a young preacher, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There has to be a transfer of truth and right principles and the wisdom of God from one generation to the next, and they have to be sufficiently trained and faithful to preserve that truth, or there is a major breakdown and souls go to hell as a result. Number five, the best and most available source of faithful men and women, as spoken of in 2 Timothy 2:2, is our youth. Yep. It's a sad thing if a preacher can evangelize those who he only preaches to and he's never around much more than he can evangelize his own family. There are preachers who can be great evangelists and affect a lot of people as long as they only hear a sermon. While his children go reprobate and apostate. We're going to talk about some of this. These are facts and figures and realities that stare us all in the face. And the only way we're going to properly deal with them is if we humble ourselves and are totally, completely honest before God. Turn to Proverbs 22. We're going to talk about this. This is so important. May God help us as fathers and grandfathers and fathers-to-be, young men, mentors, mothers, grandmothers. May God help you to tune in honestly and humbly today. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It does not mean he will come back to it. It does not mean he won't be able to escape from it. It is a precept, it is a maxim that a child properly and diligently trained in the way he should go will generally continue in that way that he was trained. Okay, that's what it means. The obvious interpretation is the plain truth of the matter. And it also is so that when a child does not continue in the way he should go, there is generally revealed a lack and a deficiency in the training and the trainer.
Yes.
And we cannot hide from these realities. Because by default, we are actually, in all truthfulness, training them up in the way we are going.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It is very difficult, if not impossible, to train up a child to be a better Christian than you are willing to be. Yeah. Or to live by a higher standard than you hold yourself to.
That's right.
To say, do as I say and not as I do, doesn't work. You may warn them, and they may have the wisdom to realize, Pa is not perfect, Mama is not perfect, they're teaching me truth, I'm going to follow truth, I'm not going to be waylaid by their lack of perfection. Now, a wise and sincere youth should be able to move beyond.
Amen. Yeah.
Because the only reason us as adults are here is we have moved beyond.
Yeah.
Okay? But we're talking about a general maxim, mm-hmm. a general precept that rarely is proven wrong. And I'm not necessarily talking about actions. A self-willed, arrogant preacher may raise up a self-willed, arrogant unbeliever. And you can say, well, I kept him in church. But what did you teach him? He's self-willed and arrogant. So, he saw a self-willed, arrogant preacher, and he became a self-willed, arrogant unbeliever. A chip off the old block? Yeah, he just applied it in a different way in life. There's a quote, "Give me a child for the first 7 years and I will give you the man." Some people say Ignatius of Loyola said it. Some people say Aristotle first said it. Some people say Hitler used it. Oh, it came from the Pope. No, it was a Jewish a Jesuit maxim. Well, they probably all knew it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been known since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Moses knew it. David knew it. Solomon knew it. This is the reason the government wants to rip children away from their parents as early as possible.
Right.
This is the reason the devil wants you to set your child in front of the television and the computer and let it feed.
Yeah.
Because training up a child in the way he should go has to do with who is actually training that child.
That's right.
You say, well, you know, I don't think I taught them that way. No, you let their friends train them. Yeah. You left them with their friends. The friends were more diligent in training the child than you were.
Yes.
The television programs, the books, the movies, they were more diligent in training that child than the parent. So who's actually training the child? You don't want to know why Democrat communists hate homeschools and Christian schools? They understand, give me the child for the first 7 years and I'll give you the man. There's other maxims along this line. The vessel retains the savor with which it was first seasoned. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You ever heard those before? Well, I trained him up in the way he should go. Yeah, and he didn't depart from it, did he? Well, I kept him in church while you were at home. Well, I sent him to church every week while you stayed home and watched television. Come on. Yeah, you trained him up in the way they should go. You trained him up that children go to church and adults stay home. Didn't you? The Bible speaks of the minister as one who ministers to the congregation the Spirit. Yeah. Ministering the Spirit. Now, what spirit he's ministering is another issue. If he's preaching the Word of God, okay? If he's on his knees before God and getting a message from God and preaching the Word of God, he's ministering the Spirit of God. Otherwise, he's ministering his own spirit.
Yes.
Okay? Now, what do you minister? You are ministering in your home a spirit. What are you ministering? Are you ministering the Spirit of God or your spirit? Are you ministering God's Word or you in your home? Well, then you can't. Well, I trained him up in the way they should go. Oh? Let's read Deuteronomy 6 again. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou, then thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee. These promises are dependent upon multi-generational faithfulness. The first generation did not have the prosperity that was promised. The first generation did not have the might that was promised. But in a multi-generational situation where you have godliness, 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 God increases that family. He increases that nation. The might and the prosperity and the blessings come.
Yes.
And the devil knows it. And the devil knows the best way to stop something that's really going to make God look good, that's really going to exhibit his word, is to have the generational breakdown. So that the father or the mother, the parents who were godly, who got the ball rolling in the right way, who were seeking the Lord, somehow we got to nip that. We got to stop that. We're going to work on Junior. And if we can't slow him down very much, we'll get the grandson.
Yeah.
The devil's no fool. I wish we were wiser.
Yeah.
Hear thou, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord your God, thy fathers, has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. That's got to be first. You can't teach your children. Oh, you can teach them words. But more is caught than taught.
Yep.
You can say all the right words, But you are ministering you the majority of the time. And that's where the problem comes in. And if we are not humble about it, if our children don't see us on our knees praying, "Oh God, please help my children to move beyond. Help my children be wise in spite of my difficulties." If we aren't saying, "You know, I'm sorry, you know, that was wrong." If they don't see us seeking God humbly, then we are nothing but an eclipse of God in their life. It says here, and also teach them diligently unto thy children. How many times in a week in your home, if I would ask your children, do you all have Bible time every day? Well, what if they said, "Well, we try to. Mom and Dad tries to have it every day. Dad really pushes to have Bible time every day." Would they say that? Or would they say, "Well, I don't remember the last time we had Bible time. Now and then, Dad, Mom gets in the groove and then it's all forgotten again." Diligently, thou shalt teach. Oh, well, we take them to church. It says thou.
Yes.
Not the preacher. Not the Sunday school teacher. Thou. You. You get it in your heart.
Yes.
And then you teach it diligently in your home. And talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. What do you talk about in your house? What are your children hearing you talk about in your house? And when thou walkest by the way. What are your children hearing you talk about by the way? And when thou sittest down, liest down, when thou risest up. In other words, all the time. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. How important is God's precepts to dad. This is a analogy or a type, a figure of speech. You bind it upon your hand, it's frontless between thine eyes. God said, "I have engraven you on my hand." Okay, these are terms to establish value. You bind it upon, you know it like the back of your hand.
Right.
Wonder where that came from. Frontless between thine eyes. On the doorposts of your house and your gates. Man, my dad's a fanatic. That's your only hope, boy.
Yep.
If you got enough brains to see it, that's your only hope, girl. If your dad's a fanatic, if he's got the Word of God like the back of his hand, between his eyes, on the house and the gates, and it's the Word of God, that's all he ever talks about. That's your only hope, child. You better thank God and praise God if that's the case. We are actually training up our children in the way we are going. You cannot instill values and priorities that you do not embrace and exemplify. Your spiritual temperature is what you will communicate regardless of your words. And apart from a radical and thorough conversion, children will be the product of their home or their friends, whichever took the greatest interest in training them. Apart from a thorough conversion, a born-again experience, a genuine repentance, a genuine striving in the other direction, they will be the product of whoever raised them. Mark it down. The new convert understands that he must strive and fight to overthrow this reality, overthrow this principle, or they will eventually succumb to it and slip back into the groove of early training, early ways, home life, family dysfunction. And I'm not so much talking about their diet, or where they choose to live, or what job they have. We're not talking about that. We're talking about how they deal with their likes and their dislikes, how they respond to correction, how they deal with pressure, What is their default mode? Okay, that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Ephesians 4:17 says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." In other words, according to the trend. The way that they are raised. The family way, the national way. There are national trends. There are state trends. There are family trends. There are denominational trends. There are ways. Whatever influences that child in his early development will be the modus operandi of his life, usually. Okay? "The henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." The idolatries of their mind.
Yes.
The presumption of their mind. The pride of their own choices. The assumed wisdom and knowledge of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Now, they don't know this and they don't believe this, but it's true. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, in other words, beyond blush, beyond the check of conscience. These people have broken down barriers, or if they had a real fear of God, they wouldn't have done this or that or something else, okay? They wouldn't have told that lie. They wouldn't have been dishonest had that wall of conscience not been broken down. So past feeling means they've gone beyond. And by the way, on a scale of 1 to 10, this applies in many different categories. How dark? How past feeling? How ignorant? How blind? Does it really matter where you are on a scale of 1 to 10? I don't want any of this in my life.
Amen.
Past have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. How much? Just a number 4? It's too much. To work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conduct the old man. What is the old man? It's not just Adam's blood. But it is the development in my early life. Okay? It is the modus operandi that I absorbed from my home. The spirit that was ministered in my home by my mom, my dad, my friends, my school, it impacted me. I've got to put that off. I've got to put off the family's tradition, the family way of doing this. I've got to put off the family mentality of how the other Gentiles, the Gentile home, the unbelieving, ungodly, or just spiritually dysfunctional home I was raised in. I've got to put that off.
Right.
If I'm going to follow Jesus. It is often said in my hearing and marriage counseling and all this sort of thing that as she gets older, she gets more like her mother. Well, the same goes for him.
Yeah.
He's acting just like his dad. I know when my mom was beating me with the rod as a child, she said, "You're not going to be like your dad. You're not going to be like your grandpa." Thank God. Thank you, Mom. Appreciate that. That helped a lot. But I still had to put off the old man, okay, which included my influence from her in my early days, and my dad, my preacher, my church, okay? It's a reality. Hopefully we've all grown in grace beyond that. But we all have to put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful desire, deceitful lust. But I'm using the word desires because it's not just talking about sensual or sexual.
Right.
It's talking about desire. Deceitful
right.
desires. Deceitful likes and dislikes. Deceitful choices. Deceitful pursuits. Deceitful desires. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God
yes.
is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Yes.
That's what we have to have. I have to put off Bullen and Elliot and Harrison and all of that, along with Adam, okay? And I've got to put on God.
Yes.
That's what conversion, that's what being born again. Being born again by incorruptible seed is all about. New birth requires that you put on new family characteristics and stop defending and coddling the old. If we do not, then we can only be passing on the old family characteristics to our children, even though we may want to raise them as a Christian. We're still just passing on the old family ways. Number one, the youth are the hope of tomorrow. Number two, the truth must be transferred to the youth. Number three, the youth must be sufficiently trained to embrace and preserve the truth. Yes. Number four, if we do not sufficiently transfer truth to and through the youth that God has entrusted to us, then we have failed to a large degree in our life mission. Number five, we are by default training daily our children in the way we are going. Like it or not.
Right.
Loving God, loving His law, fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. What does that look like? According to your school, according to what you're teaching in your home, what does that look like? The definition of love. What definition are you teaching? What does it look like in your life? The definition of honesty. What does that look like in my life? Respect for authority. Keeping rank. Honoring the church authority. Honoring God-ordained authority. What does that look like in my life? Mama, you can teach your daughter all about submitting to her husband, but she's going to do what you do. She's going to learn what she has learned from you. Most likely, the children will submit to Papa the way they see Mama submit to Papa. Or they will submit to Mama the way they see Mama submit to Papa. Mm-hmm. You can't just discount who I am and what I am and what I am transmitting. You can't discount that and say, well, I told them right. God help us. We've got to get in line. They've got to see us humbly crying out to God and struggling and trying to do these things if we expect them to do that. If the preaching does not change us, it has little chance of saving our youth.
That's right.
Self-denial, holiness. What's that look like in your life? Papa, Mama. Humble and teachable. What's that look like in your life, Mama and Papa? Son, you need to obey your Sunday school teacher. You need to sit still in class. Do you sit still in class, Papa? You need to honor your Sunday school teacher. Do you honor the pastor? You need to listen to your Sunday school teacher. Do you listen to the Sunday school teacher? Romans, thou art called a Jew and rest in the law. Mm-hmm. And makest thy boast of God. As though you're a guide to the blind, a teacher of babes. You know, a preserver of truth. The law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Dost thou commit adultery? Thou shalt not steal. Dost thou steal? Okay, Paul is dealing with this in Romans chapter 2. It's a matter of tribe over truth, or truth over tribe. If I'm going to be a true Christian, I've got to root out the tribe and replace it with truth in my life. 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Why does he say the time will come? Because he knows this happens a little bit at a time. He knows that as a parent shuts out a little bit of truth, the child will shut out a little more. And they'll shut out. Pretty soon, they'll totally turn their ears away from the truth altogether and are turned into fables. Family traditions, family manner of life, family habits, family modesty, family ethics, family attitudes, family pride, family values, family priorities and tastes. And if it's not your mom and dad family, it's your friend family, your school family. Whoever is allowed, your TV family, whoever the trainer is. 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts or desires in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conduct. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conduct received by tradition from your fathers. What are you redeemed from? You're redeemed from the depravity of your raising. You're being redeemed from the bad influences, the bad injections of your childhood. Because the only way you can be a saint is to put it off.
That's right.
You cannot carry on the family way, the family attitude, the family mentality. You've got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You've got to put on God. Redeemed from your vain conduct received by tradition from your fathers. This is not just talking to Jews. He's writing to Gentile churches.
Yeah.
It applies to the Jew and the Gentile. Matthew 10:34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. What is this sword going to have to do? In order to get people to reconcile with God, where's the cut need to be? For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe should be there of his own household. Why? Why would that ever be? Because we are making a break with family tradition. We are making a break with family outlook, family viewpoint, family values, family priorities. That's why.
Yep.
Otherwise, there would be no division. There would be no problem. He that loveth father or mother, in other words, the family way, the things that are, the reasons we're dividing, okay? God wants you to love your father and mother, but this is a situation where father and mother are going the other way.
Mm-hmm.
This is a situation where father and mother are not putting off the old man. This is the situation where father and mother are not submitted to the word of God. This is the situation where in order to follow Jesus, you've got to go a different direction. And it says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. There are families across this in the land who don't have a biblical church, but they don't want to move away from mom and dad. They don't want to move away from son and daughter. They don't want to leave a good job. And their children are growing up.
Yep.
And well, we teach them the Bible. Oh, you're teaching them more than that.
Yep.
You're teaching them far more than that. And we have seen the product over and over. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life, in other words, he that saves and preserves his present modus operandi, he that saves and preserves the family tradition, he that saves and preserves the early childhood development, the training that he received, it was not according to God. Okay? He that findeth his life, he that saves and preserves and retains that shall lose it all. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. We are talking about multi-generational faithfulness, and we're primarily hitting right now the reason why we don't see it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The word train up means to narrow.
Yeah.
In other words, everything's not okay. This path is okay. To train up means to guide them into a particular path and to the elimination of other things.
That's right.
Okay? It means to discipline, which is the same concept. The way he should go. In Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, which means don't be an obnoxious bonehead when it comes to leading the family. Okay? Be reasonable. You get in line with the Word of God. It's the other places, provoke them not to wrath, lest they be discouraged. Be consistent. Live on principle. Operate by the Word of God. Not by your own up and down emotions and thoughts. Don't be living, Pa. Don't be living, Father, according to what is convenient for you and best for you at the moment. Your children will be discouraged because they'll know, well, today he said this, tomorrow he'll say something else. He says in Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. Here's the alternative, okay? Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Yes.
The nurture means, it's the same word in Hebrews as chastening. Means chastening and correction. And admonition is primarily talking about instruction. Okay? Of the Lord. According to His Word. Not your own ideas. According to His Word. Now, by not training, you are rebelling. By not training this way, you are rebelling against your authority. So you may be training them in religion. You may be training them in some ethics. You may be training them according to your word and your law and your ideas about righteousness and your ideas about truth. In doing so, you are rebelling against your authority. And that's what you're teaching. That's what you're teaching. Independent self-willed rebellion is what you're teaching. Well, I didn't tell them to do that. No, but you taught them to be independent, self-willed, and rebellious. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Now, does that mean he feels hate when he does that? No. No. It's talking about the ultimate result.
Right.
Okay? Is hateful to his soul. Is damaging. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Just like beatitudes, be times, appropriate times. Appropriately. When it's proper. Okay? Which means you're going to do it properly as well. The love has to do with the result, not the feeling.
Right.
The love has to do with what this is actually doing, not how you felt at the moment.
Right.
Okay? That's what love is defined by. God's law is love. God's law says stone those who are worthy of death. Well, does that mean you got to feel love? Love is the result of this whole process. Love for truth, love for right, love for society as a whole.
Yes.
And those who violate God's law because they put love in the realm of my personal feelings, God calls it hate.
That's right.
Okay? Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope. First 7 years? First 10 years? You know, there comes a day when he's too big to chasten that way.
Right.
The Bible indicates that there's a time when there's hope. What does that mean about the other time? Apart from a thorough conversion and a change in the child's heart, there may be no hope. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. You need to live by principle and not by emotion.
Amen.
Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Adamic nature? Yes, that's what it is. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. If you shirk your duty, you leave them to be a fool. If you don't drive it out. Okay? This is more than just listen to your Sunday school teacher. It says foolishness is bound. It's got to be driven out. If we don't drive it out, it's still there. Then what? Well, I taught him Bible stories. Did you ever consider that the nurture and admonition of the Lord requires more than that? Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Obviously, God's law is prescribing appropriate, loving, parental action, not abusive, stupid action, okay?
Right.
The greatest advocate for my father's use of the rod is me, the receiver of it. I thank God for every spanking I got.
Amen.
The greatest advocates for my use of the rod are my children who received it. The ones who would maybe not be the biggest advocates maybe didn't get enough. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Rod, reproof. Nurture, admonition. Same categories. Rod and reproof. Nurture and admonition. Rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame.
Yeah.
Why? He's supposed to be being trained by her. She's the primary trainer in those early years. Father's out making a living. She's the one who's the primary keeper of the home in those early years. And so a child is not supposed to be left to himself. He's supposed to be trained. So, if he's not trained and he grows up to be a fool, who does it reflect on? Mama. To some degree, the Bible says so. I didn't write the book. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is a general precept. Even Christians can fall away. Okay? You can have a home where the parents trained everyone the same pretty much, and one may fall away. All right? This is a general precept. You can't, and I'd say probably 95% of the time it's gonna play out. It's gonna hold true. Since we are actually training them up in the way we are going, there's always an element of error and lack in the training up of the way they should go.
Yes.
You would have to be a perfect spiritual individual to perfectly train them up in the way they should go. Okay? So this precept maybe is 100% accurate all the time when it's 100% applied.
Yes.
Since we are actually training them up in the way we are going, we need to ask, which way are we going? Are we vaccinating our children against God's conviction by our example? Are we vaccinating our children against the preaching by our response? Which way are we going, folks? Do your children feel obligated to carry the torch of truth because it has been the driving force of your life? And they know if they aren't on fire for God that they're really going to let you down? Do your children see you as a pillar in God's program or living by your own program? Do your children see you as committed to the church and the goals of the church or just kind of riding along with your own ideas? If our child becomes a true, vigilant disciple of Jesus Christ, will they have to separate from us? Will they have to overcome our influence in their life? Will they have to protect their children from too much time with us as grandparents to protect and secure their children's training in the way they should go? And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them on the posts of thy house and thy gates. God's commandments. Are you submitting to them? The only way you can train them up in the way they should go is by going that way.
Right.
With all your heart. With all your mind, with all your strength. You cannot train them to a standard you're not willing to live. So here's another couple ideas before we close. Separation unto God. Is that just for the children? Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not proper, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit in any other context becomes wicked. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. In the context of the rainbow crowd, becomes disgusting.
Right.
In the context of the communist, becomes tyranny. In the context of God's law, it's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Is that what the children observe in the home, mommy and daddy? 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Do the children see that in the parents, or do the parents just want to put that on the children? Well, when I get to be an adult, then I can watch the movies. Oh, when I get to be an adult, then I can listen to the radio. Oh, when I get to be an adult, then I can go drink. Oh, when I get to big, then I can use tobacco. Oh, when I get big, then I can read those magazines. Oh, when I get big like daddy, then I can have worldly friends. Is that what you're teaching at home? Well, when I grow up, then I can stay home from church. As a child, you need to go to church. As a child, we don't want you to have bad friends. Stay away from those bad friends. Does daddy have bad friends? Does mommy have bad friends? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Is that only for the children? What books are mommy and daddy reading? That's what the children are going to want to read someday. What does mommy and daddy watch on TV or computer? What attitudes are okay for mommy and daddy? By the way, yes, there may be some things that are appropriate for mommy and daddy to do that aren't appropriate for children. No kidding. But, mommy and daddy, nothing is appropriate for you to do that's not godly.
That's right.
And if your children do it when they grow up, it'll be godly too. Okay? So ungodliness is never okay. I don't care how old you are.
That's right.
Does daddy and mommy reverence the church and the preaching? Say, children, obey your parents. Does mommy obey daddy? Same book. Mm-hmm. But mommy doesn't obey it, why does the children have to obey it? Does daddy obey God? Does daddy honor his authorities? Does daddy and mommy sit reverently and listen in church? Does daddy say amen? Does daddy memorize the verse? Does daddy love the Bible? Does mommy pray earnestly and faithfully? Does mommy and daddy witness and try to bring people to church? Does mommy and daddy lay down their life for the propagation of truth? You are training up your child in the way you are going. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. Let's stand. Every godly father and every godly mother feels the weight of what I've said today. Every godly father and every godly mother is going to take what I said to their knees and say, "Oh God, help me! Oh God, help me!" If you don't, you're not a godly father and mother. Any thoughts before we pray?
Amen.
Let's pray.